I'll be reading from Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Luke 14, 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counteth the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to assemble with one another, to worship God, Spirit, and truth. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. And certainly, if you have any questions, we would love to answer any of those with a thus saith the Lord as best we can. Because certainly that's what we desire to do. You know, another year comes to a close. It seems that those, as you get older, seem to come faster and faster. And at the end of the year, I think many individuals reflect, which we'll talk about this evening, and I think many individuals make resolutions and goals. And I would like you to think about for the next few moments about making some spiritual goals. You know, there's work to do for the Lord. There's no doubt about that. There's no shortage of work to be done. And I think there's different areas in our lives that we could consider and think about this morning of areas that perhaps I could be better, I could improve. I remember in elementary school, there was the principal at that school, which I actually, as I grew in my education career, he was kind of there all along the way, but I remember on his door, he had a banner, and it said, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. You know, I've always thought about that, and I think I've always carried a little bit of that with me, that mentality of, yeah, you can be good, but can't you be better? And then once you get to that better, it can't you get to that point where, you know, I'm trying to really strive for my best. And I think in our Christian lives, we should always be striving for that. The pursuit of our potential is a journey that never ends. The pursuit of our potential is a journey that never ends. And I think many times we look at our physical lives, many people as they come to the close of the year and they look at their physical lives and they say, what am I doing good? What could I do better? How could I really give my best in these different areas? But my question is do we ever sit down and we look at what we can do spiritually for the Lord? Well, Kyle, I don't know if that's what I really signed up for. I think it might be what you signed up for, and maybe you just didn't realize it. Because really, we are to follow those steps of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, for to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. See, Jesus left a perfect example. A perfect example, an example that we understand that we will never reach, but as we are baptized for the remission of sins, added to the church, we're starting this new life, and we are starting this new life with a conviction of trying to pursue the example of Jesus. To do our best, to look at how Jesus lived his life and say, how do I match up, how do I compare, how can I do better? What would Jesus do in this situation? Will you pursue your spiritual potential? What I'd like to remind you of this morning, which many individuals do not like to be reminded of, is that you don't have that much time to pursue your spiritual potential. I remember Psalm 90. In Psalm 90, if you turn over there just for a few moments, Psalm 90, really Moses talking about aging there. He talks about various things. Of course, this is probably written when he was in the wilderness wandering. In verse 10 of Psalm 90, it says this. It says, but the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, for as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, right there in verse 12, I think there's a powerful lesson there in life. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When we start to think about the shortness of life, I think we get our priorities in order. When we think about how few days we really have on this face of physical earth, I think it really puts us in the mindset of putting first things first in our lives. teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If you start to number your days, I think you will put your priorities where they need to be. That you will have a spiritual focus, that you will have spiritual goals because you understand the importance of those things. It says the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. I've said before, I think of it as the quarters of life. 0 to 20 is your first quarter. 20 to 40 is your second quarter. 40 to 60 is your third quarter. 60 to 80 is the fourth quarter. And perhaps God has blessed you with overtime. And if He has, praise God. And certainly use those years to bring God the glory. But it says right there, 70 to 80 years, right there, God has given you a timetable. Certainly there are some that die long before that. There are certainly those that will go on past 80. We understand that. But have you numbered your days recently? Have you thought of how many days you might have left? This might be the last day. I don't know. But have you numbered your days recently? And if you've numbered your days, have you thought about how you are going to use those years in service to the Lord? See, many people fall into the trap of not counting their days. And what happens is they say, I'll serve the Lord next year. I'll serve the Lord once the kids get out of my house. I'll serve the Lord when my wife isn't going through pregnancy anymore. I'll serve the Lord when this happens or that happens. And the reality is if you start living your life that way, if you will wake up in the fourth quarter, you'll wake up in overtime and say, look at all these years that I have not served the Lord the way that I should. Our reading included the idea of counting the cost. I think there's a counting of costs that needs to happen with the years of your life. How are you going to spend them? How are you going to use them? And what was the cost if you don't use your years in the way that you should? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it tells us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says this. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where neither thieves break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's a great trap in this life. A great trap to be focused on lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and somehow miss out on a spiritual focus and spiritual goal. And it has happened to many individuals throughout time, and perhaps it even happened to us. Many people will set physical goals around this time of year, going into the new year. The question is do you have a spiritual goal on that list? We say, Kyle, I don't even have physical goals. What do you have any spiritual goals? Because we know that those spiritual goals are the ones that are really going to be connected to our eternity, and perhaps our ability to influence those that are around us. Have you set some spiritual goals recently? You know, many people will set different goals. I heard a businessman say it one time, and it's always stuck with me. What gets measured gets accomplished. All the goals I write down, I try to tie a number to. I try to connect it to something. You know, many people will make the goal of reading the Bible in a year, but they don't really break it down. They don't really count the cost, if you will. The goal, read the Bible in a year. Well, what would that cost me? Have you ever thought about that? What would it cost me to read the Bible in a year? If you Google that very quickly, I think that you'll find that it takes about 75 hours for the average reader to read the Bible. 75 hours. That sounds like a lot. But perhaps if you took that 75 hours and you divided it by 365 days. Or perhaps you divide it by 260. 260 would be just reading the Bible on the traditional work week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You could decide what you want to divide it on. And I actually did some of those calculations. If you just read the Bible 5 days a week. If you just did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you say, well, Sunday I'm at church, Saturday, you know, I need to catch up on things. If you just did 260 days, I think it would be 17 minutes a day to get through the Bible in a year. Talk about counting the cost. Read the Bible, read through the whole Bible in a whole year. It's 17 minutes a day if you did 5 days a week. Well, Kyle, maybe I should read the Bible every day. Maybe just a little bit every day. It would be 12 minutes a day. 12 minutes a day to get through the Bible in a year. It's one thing to set a goal or a resolution. It's another thing to say, let's try to break this down and see if this really can be accomplished, if it can really be done. Can you give 12 minutes a day to the Lord to read the Bible, read the Scriptures, break it down? My goal is to get through the Bible twice a year. And I don't usually share my goals, but I can tell you that's one of the goals that I've written down, and that's one of the goals I strive for. And there's many ways that I can get to that goal. You know that if you've got a 15-minute drive to work, I'm not saying that this is the best way to read the Bible, but if you've got a 15-minute drive to work, you understand that you can get through the Bible once a year by just turning off the radio and saying, I'm going to listen to the Bible 15 minutes on the way to work every day. You would get through the Bible in a year. Teach us to number our days so we can have a heart of wisdom. Teach us to count the cost and break things down so we know what can be accomplished realistically. What I'd like you to think about is three areas of your life I think you should have spiritual goals for. Three areas of your life that I think are biblical that God says that we should develop and we should look at and we should consider. And I think you should consider them this morning and you should make yourself some goals. Number one, evangelism. Certainly, I think that we would not have to go too far in the Bible to understand that God has put evangelism at the center of a Christian's life. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus sent his followers out to make disciples, to make followers. We see that they are to be baptized. A goal of our Lord is evangelism. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Could you have an evangelism goal? I think you could. I think there's different ways we can consider evangelism. I think usually we're comfortable with one far more than the other. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, which really reflects what Matthew chapter 28 says, it tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it gives us a little different picture. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to anyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, when it comes to evangelism, I think there are really two sides to it. It's number one, there is going out into the world, but also there are those that see our lives and see our conduct, and they say, why do you have joy? Why do you have hope? Why are you living your life this way? And we are supposed to be prepared to give an answer. I think both those are areas of evangelism. It's number one, defending the faith, giving an answer of the hope that's in us, but also going out into the world. Typically, we are stronger in one area or the other. And I think the Lord's church, for a long time, we've got very strong at defending, but not going. You know, this past year, the elders granted me the opportunity and the blessing, which this is also motivated by other members of the Lord's church here. We're very thankful. We had 12 weeks where we went through the Back to the Bible Bible study together. A great study for our denominational neighbors, a great study for those that believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but maybe have a few misunderstandings and misconceptions about what the Scriptures teach. Those Back to the Bible Bible studies are back there. I think a great goal would say, I'm going to try to invite this many people to church. Certainly, that's great. Maybe an evangelistic goal would be invite so many people this year to have a Bible study with you. I'd love to have it with you if you don't feel comfortable doing it yourself, but we went through 12 weeks of that Back to the Bible to build your confidence so that you could say to somebody with confidence, would you like to study the Bible? Invite them over to your house, study book one, study book two, study book three. If you need help, I'd certainly be glad to do that. Do you have an evangelism goal? Or do you just put these things to chance? See, many people will write their goals down physically. They say, I'm going to try to do this better in the new year. I'm going to try to do this better in the new year. They'll try to write those down. Have you tried to write down some spiritual goals? I'm going to try to invite this many people to services. I'm going to try and do this and try to track it throughout the year. What gets measured gets accomplished. I tell you, I write things down. And I'm not saying I'm writing all things. I'm growing right in front of you as a preacher. As I try to develop myself, I am not perfect by any means. I'm trying to get better every year. Try to be a better preacher every year. Try to be a better teacher every year. I'm trying to grow as much as I can. But you know, God's got some expectations for you. And you might think those expectations are high and lofty, but in Hebrews, we see a call out, I believe, of the church in relation to them not being prepared to do what they were supposed to do. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, for this time you ought to be teachers. However, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and to come to me milk and not solid food. For those who partake only of milk are unskilled in the word of righteousness, for they are babes. But those who by reason of use have their senses exercised and discern between both good and evil, those are those that partake of the meat. If we are to grow to the point that we can study with people, and I've already reflected with the elders, I think that we should do back to the Bible every couple of years. We did it this past year, won't do it this year. If the elders grant me the opportunity, I'd like to do it again. Because we need to be prepared to have Bible studies with those that we love. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, one of the challenges of that back to the Bible was to ask somebody to study the Bible. And I think we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and we have to say, did I ask anyone to study the Bible this year? I'm not saying they had to say yes. You know, you will be in that person's mind until the day they die if you ask that question. Would you like to study the Bible with me? I would love to study the Bible. You will be in their mind for the rest of their lives. And maybe, just maybe, when they go through some hardship or trial or tribulation, they'll remember Kyle, who said that he, just out of the blue, he asked me if I'd like to have a Bible study. And you know what? I'm going through some hard times right now. I might give him a call. I think many of us are afraid that call might come. Do you have some goals for evangelism? Sending invitations to individuals, speaking with individuals, inviting them to church, inviting them to partake in Bible study. I think we've done a lot of good here at Sandyville. Sometimes we don't have the, we almost don't even look sometimes at things that we've accomplished. You know that 10 individuals have touched this baptistry this year. 10 individuals. And that is not necessarily a me thing, that's a we thing. Because there's a planting, there's a watering, and God gives the increase. 10 individuals have touched the waters here at Sandyville. Now they could touch the waters anywhere. They could be buried for the remission of sins, all of, but 10 individuals here at Sandyville. What a great accomplishment that is. Some of those individuals fell underneath Acts chapter 19. There are individuals that looked at their lives and said, you know what, when I was baptized, I was perhaps not baptized for the right reasons. And then they said, this is something I need to do. There's some of these individuals that were friends of people here at Sandyville that actually go to other congregations of Christ. And some of those individuals worship with us here. Baptized for the remission of sins, added to the church. You have some evangelism goals. Sometimes I think we break just basic laws. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, I don't think that the context necessarily applies to the point that I'm going to make, but it's just such great phrasing. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You know, I think sometimes we just break basic laws. We want people to have Bible studies with us, but we never ask the question. We want people to come to church, but we never ask the question. I'm not saying we have to ask them every single day, but certainly some of those questions need to go out from time to time. We're breaking basic laws. You have not because you ask not. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, the Bible says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There's this idea of there's an action and there's a connection. It says ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. You know, many times people want stuff to be given to them, but they never ask. You know, I really want Kyle to do that, but they never ask. But I want that to be given to me. Well, you never ask. We break basic laws. We want the door to be open, but we never knock. I'm just going to stand here in front of this door and just hope it opens, but I'm not going to knock. Knock, and it'll be open to you. If they're seeking, you will find. When's the last time you found your keys just sitting on the couch? Seek and you will find. Well, I want to find those keys, but I'm just going to stay on the couch. Well, you're not seeking, you're probably not going to find. We're breaking basic laws. James chapter 4 and verse 2. You have not because you ask not. Perhaps the reasons we don't have Bible studies is perhaps because we don't ask for them. Perhaps people aren't attending the services of the saints because we're not asking. Perhaps you have not because you ask not. And I understand that people have freedom of will and freedom of choice, but what we're trying to look at is how can I be better? Can we be better with evangelism? Certainly we can be. Certainly we can be. We've done some excellent things this year in terms of evangelism. We're trying to preach the truth. We're trying to get the word out there. And people are just not randomly baptized for remission of sins. They are taught. And then they're baptized, and then they're taught again. That's the pattern we see in Matthew chapter 28. They go out into all the world, preach the gospel. They're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it says to continue on to teach them. Matthew chapter 28, you can see it. Go preach the gospel, baptize them, and then teach them all things that I've commanded you. Teach, baptize, teach. That's the pattern we see in Scripture. Can you be better at evangelism? Could you write down a goal? Say, I'm going to try to offer 6 people in my life a Bible study this year. You say, well, Kyle, what if I only hit 50% of that goal? Well, it might be better than where you were last year. I don't know. I don't know how many invitations you're extending. I don't know. You say, well, 6 kind of seems like a small number. Well, it's better than none, which might happen. It's better than 1. Do you have some spiritual goals? You have spiritual goals with evangelism. Let me give you another area, edification. Edification is the idea in Scripture of instruction or improvement of a person, morally or intellectually. But edification, it's got this idea of trying to build up or help another. Trying to build up or help another. And I think we have an individual obligation to evangelism, although we might try to run and try to assign it to just a few people. I think we all have an individual responsibility of evangelism. I think we all have an individual responsibility when it comes to edification, trying to build people up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says this. It says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, the Bible says this. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. In order to build somebody up, you have to look for the good. And so many times, we have a good habit of looking at all the things that are bad and never looking for the good. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us to look for the good. And when we can find the good in the congregation, or we can find the good in our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to build that up. Well, Kyle, how can I build someone up this year? You know, believe it or not, I try to put some names down. I'm one individual. I try to do the best I can. I'm not perfect. I certainly have a lot of weaknesses. There's no doubt about that. But you know, you should write somebody's name down that you could build up this year. That you're going to take an interest in and try to encourage and try to build them up and try to support them. Try to help them grow. You know, one way that I think people overlook so many times, one way we can edify and build each other's up is by showing up to services. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. The people that were baptized in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we see that they continued on. They continued on what? In the apostles' doctrine. They continued on in fellowship. They continued on in the breaking of bread. They continued on in prayers. What? Together. That's what they did. Together. In Acts chapter Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know how you can build people up? Attend services. There are few things that encourage me more than other young dads. I'm not saying that other people don't encourage me. You do. You encourage me. when you come to services. You encourage me deeply. But I can tell you, there's a special place in my heart for young dads. Because I'm a young dad. There's nothing more encouraging for me, many times, than looking and seeing the young dads here. I'm sure Sarah's got the same thing with young moms. I think we all have that. We go through different seasons of life. I admire my brothers and sisters in Christ that overcome so much adversity many times to come to services. Many times come to services alone, when many of their family will not attend. You can build people up by your example, by your presence. And you can certainly build each other up by attending and fellowshipping with one another. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." There are many things we can do to encourage one another. We can encourage each other with cards. How many cards could you send out this year? Could you put a number on it? How many visits could you do this year? Could you put a number on it? How many times attended service throughout the year? Could you put a number on it? You certainly could. How many phone calls? How many encouraging words? There's certainly some goals we could have in building each other up in the faith. Number one, do you have an evangelism goal? Number two, do you have an edification goal? Number three, do you have a goal for benevolence? You know, Sandyville is a great congregation in so many ways, and I think that certainly there are areas that we can all work on, and certainly areas that we excel. And personally, on a personal note, when I look at benevolence, I think that we have some great, great individuals here at Sandyville Church of Christ. I've been touched by benevolence in a very private way, and I'm thankful for each and everything. And it's happened at different phases throughout my life, and I know that a lot of these things happen behind the scenes, as they should be, based off the scriptures. But there's so much good benevolence that happens behind the scenes here. And it's hard, because biblically, a lot of that needs to happen behind the scenes. You know, it's not supposed to be advertised, but there is so much good benevolence that happens here at Sandyville. But certainly, I think it's an area that many people could think about and think about, what can I give? And certainly, the first thing that people think about is money. And certainly, there's an obligation for us to give money. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we see that idea of the collection of the saints. But also, did we also see throughout scriptures, I think, this idea of a private giving, a private of doing good for those that are around us, that many times will not be seen, will not be acknowledged as it should be in many cases. But there's some opportunities for you to do good this year. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith." Many times, the first thing we think about is money. And I think that in a prosperous nation in which we live, certainly it's something that we should consider from time to time, is that what are we giving to the Lord, and how can this money be best used in the service of the kingdom? But there are other ways in which we can give. And many times, these other areas of giving are much more challenging. In Matthew chapter 25, there is a whole lot in Matthew chapter 25. Certainly, we have a judgment scene. Right before the judgment scene, there's actually an illustration, a picture that's given to us, the parable of the talents. And we have the parable of the talents. We have the master that's going to a faraway country, and he starts giving these talents to his servants in his house. And he says, "I will come back." And there's going to be a counting of the talents. And certainly that master goes, and that master returns, and he starts having conversations with the servant, and we see a doubling, and we have a servant that we have that has just hid his talent. There's many things we can give. Certainly we can give money. Certainly many of the talents that we have can acquire money, which can benefit the Lord in many ways. But you have talents that perhaps you've held back from the Lord for years. I'm talking about male and female. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Perhaps there are talents that you have had, that you have held back, that you have buried, that you have not really given fully to the Lord to be utilized for His purposes. We can give money. Certainly there's a biblical perspective on that. But also we can give our talents and give our time. I think of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, we see the Good Samaritan, and we see this, the situation that unfolds where there's this person in need. And when you break down the Good Samaritan, you can't break it down with just money. When you really try to go verse by verse and start to see all that the Good Samaritan does, number one, the Good Samaritan saw something that needed to be done. It's one thing to see it, it's another thing to start acting, and that's exactly what the Good Samaritan did. When the Good Samaritan saw this individual that was hurt, this individual that was had been left, and many people were walking by, the Good Samaritan saw. But he didn't stop there. The Good Samaritan bandaged the wound. Now you talk about getting your hands dirty. You start breaking it down, you start reading the account, you start to realize the Good Samaritan is not just giving money. The Good Samaritan is about to give a whole lot in this encounter. Saul started asking bandaged wounds. Took this individual to the inn. Now that took some time. Now this Good Samaritan had some money. I assume this Good Samaritan had a job, had some type of income. You know, sometimes things come up in our lives that don't come up at a convenient time. I wonder what was on the Good Samaritan's agenda that day. Maybe the Good Samaritan was on to work that day. Maybe the Good Samaritan was on to some business deal that day. Maybe the Good Samaritan, I don't know what the journey was or what trip he was on and per se, but I know that there was a need. He saw it and he started to go to work and he started getting his hands dirty. He started dedicating some time. He had to take this individual to the end. The Good Samaritan did not just invest money into this person. The Good Samaritan, I believe, when you break it down, you look that the Good Samaritan invested time, talent, money. And I think we have to think about that with respect to ourselves as well. Because when I think about benevolence, what am I giving? Can I give money? Yes. Can I give time? Yes. Can I give my talents? Yes. I don't know if I want to go too deep into it, but one of the reasons that I do what I do, and I'm not saying it's my 100% motivation, but one of the reasons I do what I do is because I know that there will be an accounting. I know that the Master is going to return. Perhaps there's many things that I could do. Perhaps there's things that sometimes I want to do. But there will be an accounting that will come. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 says this. It says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required." That's some food for thought. I'm not saying I know perfectly what God has given you. But I know God has given you some time, He's given you some money, but I know that God has given you some talents as well. And there will be a counting of them all. I think God will look at our time. I think He'll look at our talents. He'll look at our money. But one reason that I'm here is because I know that there will be an accounting of the Lord. And I want to make sure I live right. I want to be able to stand before God in good conscience and say, I know I didn't do perfect. I know I made mistakes along the way. That I was doing my best to have a spiritual focus. I was doing the best I could in the situations that I found myself to serve you. Question for you today. Have you written down some spiritual goals? Evangelism, edification, benevolence. There are three areas that you could easily get. I think if you wrote down one goal this year and you wrote down no goals last year, that would certainly be progress. Could you write down one goal? See, many people listen to this lesson. They'll walk out. They won't write down anything. I've got my goals written down. I've got goals written down for Sandyville Church of Christ, some which I contribute a very small part in, some that I contribute a bigger part in. I've got goals for me individually. I've got goals for my family. Do you have spiritual goals? Sandyville will grow and improve when we do, collectively as a family. And we can encourage each other along the way. We can build each other up, and we can do those things which are good and right. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth." Certainly we have many things that pull at us in this life. The question is will you take some time to say, can I be better at evangelism? Can I be better at edification? Can I be better at benevolence this year? And can I write something down and make it a goal that I can pray about and work towards this year in service to the Lord? You say, Kyle, this year is not over yet. You're right. There's still a little bit more time in this year to perhaps do things that we should have done. Say, Kyle, we're cutting it close. We are cutting it close, but I bet there's some phone calls that can be made this afternoon. You still got time. You still got breath. And certainly as we have the opportunities in this life to live each day better than yesterday as best we can. How can I be more like Jesus this year? Jesus gave it his all. And certainly that's what I'm trying to do. And I pray that Sandyville and each of us individually does, because we will be better and stronger for it. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Have you heard the word? Do you believe it? Will you repent? Will you confess? Will you be baptized? Be added to the church. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can this morning if you come as we stand, as we sing.